Hi everyone, today we are going to talk on law of privileges. My name is Alipak Banerjee and I lead the International Dispute Resolution and Investigations Practice in New Delhi. I am joined by my colleague Parva Khare. He is a member of our practice. Welcome to this podcast, Parva. So to start with, first let's understand what is privilege under the Indian law.
Thank you, Alipak. So to begin with, first, we should understand what is privilege, as you said. So, privilege is basically protection in relation to communication or documents that are created for a particular legal purpose. Privilege exists so that people can freely communicate without the fear that such communication can be used against them in court. Now, it can be any communication with your attorney or in certain situations, as we will discuss further, with the other side during the negotiation.
Thank you for that, Parva. Now, to take it forward, let's first try to understand what is a client-attorney privilege.
So, as the name suggests, client-attorney privilege is basically a privilege that exists between an attorney and his client. Now, attorney-client privilege is to encourage a client to seek legal advice on a confidential basis. This protects the client and allows them to freely communicate with their attorney without any fear that any communication or disclosure can be used against them in the court. Now, in UK, there are two kinds of client-attorney privileges that have been recognized. First is the litigation privilege and second is the legal advice privilege.
So, what is the difference between litigation privilege and legal advice privilege as is understood, and what is the jurisprudence in India?
As the name suggests, litigation privilege is in relation to any communication or documents that are created for the purpose of carrying out a litigation. Now, this litigation privilege only gets attracted on meeting certain criteria, which is basically a threefold test. First, that litigation either must be in progress or must be in contemplation. Second, that the communication or the document made must be made with the sole or dominant purpose of conducting that litigation. And this communication or documentation would also include anything as to whether the litigation should be conducted or whether the matter should be settled. And lastly, that the litigation must be adversarial and not investigative or inquisitorial. Now, coming to the legal advice privilege. Legal advice privilege is in relation to, again, communication or documents that are created or exchanged for the purpose of obtaining a legal advice. So, simply, this legal advice privilege exists beyond the bounds of any litigation. Such legal advice that is being sought can be non-litigious. Further, such legal advice should merely not be an attorney stating out the law, but must also include the advice as to what the client must do prudently in a particular legal context.
Right. So, in the context of litigation privilege, what is the test to determine dominant purpose?
The English judgment of Grant versus Downs held that a communication or a document can be said to be created with a dominant purpose of litigation if at the time of its creation there is a reasonable prospect that it will be used for the purpose of carrying out litigation. Now, this reasonable prospect was further clarified by the English High Court in its judgment in Kaila Shipping versus Freight Trading, where they defined reasonable prospect as more than a mere possibility, but not necessarily 50% or more. However, at the end, the final decision of whether something is created with the dominant purpose of carrying out litigation would depend on the facts and circumstances of each case.
Right. So, you have spoken about the UK position. What is the Indian position on dominant purpose?
India does not differentiate or categorizes the client-attorney privilege on the basis of litigation privilege or legal advice privilege. However, in India, the client attorney privilege is governed by Section 126 of the Indian Evidence Act. It specifically states that any privilege can only exist after the attorney-client relationship has been created. Now, such relationship can be created either in writing or orally. Now, this concept of client-attorney privilege was further clarified by the Bombay High Court in its judgment in Larsen and Tubro versus Prime Display, where they held that a document created in anticipation of litigation for seeking legal advice and for use in the litigation to either defend or prosecute would be protected as privileged communication under the client-attorney privilege. However, there is one very big exception to client-attorney privilege, which is of waiver. A communication or a document would cease to have protection under privilege if the client specifically waives the privilege.
So, right.
So, now, so we have spoken about client-attorney privilege. We have spoken about what needs to be there in the documents or in the discussions for you to get the protection of privilege. You also briefly touched upon waiver of privilege. Now, what is the jurisprudence on waiver of a privilege? When can a client waive privilege for production of documents?
So, a waiver can either be express or implied. In case of an express waiver, it will be simple and straightforward. However, difficulty seems to arise in case of an implied waiver, where one needs to, by implication, ensure or understand whether a client has waived off privilege in relation to any particular communication or document. In relation to an implied waiver, we can draw guidance from the English judgment in PCP Capital Partners versus Barclays Bank, where they laid out a test where they said, the English court said that to determine an implied waiver, one needs to see whether there is any reliance on the privileged material that is being adverted to, what is the purpose of such reliance, and the particular context of the case in question. Further, one also needs to see the extent of waiver that has been done. That is, whether the entirety of a particular document or communication has been waived off from privilege, and whether any other related documents are also admissible because of the waiver that has been given by the client. Now, to better understand this, let's take a few illustrations. For example, let's say in case of a document that has been created which is protected under client-attorney privilege, if only the conclusion of the document or the final result that is arrived because of the document is relied upon and is disclosed, it cannot be said that the entire contents and therefore the entire content of the document has been waived off from privilege, and therefore the document is not protected under privilege anymore. It would also be a case of waiver if the reliance placed on the documents of the contents of the privileged document and not the effect of such document. In another situation, simply mentioning a privileged document would not be construed as a waiver of privilege on that document if no specific reliance is placed on the material within it. And lastly, if there is a finding of waiver of the privileged communication, then the party is under an obligation to disclose other privileged communication on the same issue. This has been held by the English High Court in the judgment of Kaila Shipping versus Freight Trading.
Thank you, Parva. So, now that we have discussed client attorney privilege at some length, let's now talk about the other most commonly used privilege, which is called the without prejudice privilege. In legal parlance, it's very common to for attorneys to write on the top of a letter without prejudice. Let's understand what is without prejudice privilege and what is the legal position in India.
So a without prejudice privilege has been defined under the Black's Law Dictionary as a declaration that no rights or privileges of the party concerned are to be considered as thereby waived or lost, except in so far as may be expressly conceded or decided. Now, without prejudice privilege exists basically to encourage parties to arrive at an amicable settlement of their dispute after thorough negotiation. During a negotiation to settle a dispute, all the statements, communications, or documents made and exchanged by the parties would be without prejudice to their argument and to their case before the court. Thus, these statements or documents would be inadmissible in court. This allows the parties to freely and fully negotiate with each other without the threat that anything that they will say during the negotiations will be used against them in a suit before the court. Now, this has been codified in Section 23 of the Indian Evidence Act. One very important thing that we need to understand is that it is not necessary that you have to mention without prejudice before every such communication or document. As long as it can be shown that a communication or a document is a part of the tangible body of negotiation correspondence between the parties, they can be protected under the without prejudice privilege. On the contrary, just because a document or a communication is preceded by the words without privilege does not mean that they would be protected under this privilege. As for waiver of without prejudice privilege, just like attorney-client privilege, it can be waived off. However, a very stark distinction between the two being that to waive off a without prejudice privilege, both the parties need to agree for the waiver. It can't happen at the behest of either one of the parties. And similar to attorney-client privilege, without prejudice privilege waiver can either be expressed or implied.
So that's it for today. Do stay tuned for interesting topics going forward, and thank you for listening to us. We also have a detailed paper on law of privilege. If you have the time, please log on to our knowledge website nishitdesai.com, and you can read our research paper where we have put all the citations and a general understanding of the law. Thank you so much for your kind attention.